Welcome to Tuesday morning, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Lots of different things to talk about. Of course, yesterday, U.S. President Donald Trump threatened new tariffs, 50% tariffs on Canadian goods, including a variety of things, wine, hockey sticks, cement, plywood, cut flowers, clothing, diaries and notebooks. I mean, it's a weird and varied list of things. The U.S. taking issue, and this is what he cited, with provincial bans on U.S. alcohol, with the country's supply management on dairy and certain tariffs and quotas that have been put on automobiles imported to Canada. So the President of the United States using Section 338 of the Tariff Act of 1930. So we're going back 96 years for this piece of legislation, an emergency trade authority that empowers the United States president to impose additional duties of up to 50% on countries that discriminate against U.S. commerce. So if you look at just the face of this, look at the liquor, for example, many provinces, Saskatchewan and Alberta, exempt because we've put U.S. liquor back on the store shelves, but many provinces removed it in response to the tariffs and the trade challenges that the U.S. initiated back in 2025. But under the essence of this piece of legislation in the United States, it could be perceived as discriminating against U.S. commerce. And as a result, that's why the president is using this. By the way, it's never been used for this purpose before. Those tariffs are expected to come into effect on August 19th. So it's that 30-day window notice that the U.S. president has given. They won't apply to things like energy, potash, products that are under Section 232. Fish, critical minerals, not included in that. However, all of these items might have been classified as CUSMA compliant, which meant prior to this, they would not have been subject to tariffs. This does not appear to be the case here. I wanted to bring in Ralco business commentator Paul Martin to talk a bit about this. Paul Martin is joining us by phone today. Paul, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, not at all. Good morning.
So I feel like, you know, I think about how we reacted to the announcement of tariffs back in February of 2025 versus how we react to this announcement yesterday. Are we rightfully so becoming complacent with the threat of tariffs?
A little bit. You know, it is, that old question is whether or not today is Taco Tuesday. You know, taco meaning Trump always chickens out. Is that he announces these things and then backs off or whatever. I get the sense, though, that this time it's a little bit different, and it might be amped up just a bit more. Certainly the reaction we're seeing from across the country, from the political leadership, Canadian political leadership, is that maybe this one's got a little bit more teeth. But we do have 30 days to make our position known and to see if, the test is going to be, are we going to, toss a couple chips on the table, or are we going to continue to play the cards close to the vest and not make any bets at this point? So I don't know. I mean, this has been such a protracted conversation and debate and negotiating process that if you look at kind of the latest set of events, Trump said no to extending CUSMA, now this. Maybe he has decided to amp it up. Perhaps that's just because he's a little grumpy with the way the rest of the world is treating him and he needs some kind of a win. I mean, who knows, right? And you and I do not sit in the back rooms to really sense what is the flavor of the conversation that's going on at the bargaining table. So we speculate on this stuff. But this one does have quite a list of products and export items that we haven't seen before, and we're just starting to get more of that detail. So this one does seem to be just a bit amped up. Now, whether it actually is posturing or it's more something we have to actually learn to contend with, yet to be seen. But I kind of just go back to your point at the very beginning. You know, this legislation that the U.S. president's acting under is from 1930. Remember that. That was the beginning of the Great Depression. And that was why they brought that legislation in at that time, was America thought that, they went into the Great Depression because the international situation as opposed to a domestic one. Hindsight says that that was the wrong move on their part, but that's where the source of the stuff comes from. And as you rightly indicated, they've never used it before. It's probably because it really isn't a very good piece of work, but it's one that Trump was able to get the lawyers to find, and it's him just being able to get back into the game and up the ante a little bit.
Paul Martin, Ralco Business Commentator, joining us here this morning. You know, the other thing that we learned yesterday, Pete Hoekstra, the U.S. Ambassador to Canada, was speaking at a conference in Edmonton, and he actually shared an interesting story about the meeting that Mark Carney had October 7th, 2025 at the White House. We all remember that meeting very well. Pete Hoekstra said that the Prime Minister proposed, as part of a preliminary trade agreement, Canada would be willing to ship 3 to 4 million barrels of oil to the United States, additional barrels of oil. This is on top of the 4 million barrels of oil a day that we send to the U.S. Now, the way Pete Hoekstra told this story, Paul, is that there were a couple of people there, the U.S. Interior Secretary Don Burgum and U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright, who both basically were extending their hand across the table to shake as soon as Carney said it, and for lack of a better term, got slapped beside the head by Trump to say, no, that's not how we negotiate. That's not a good negotiating strategy. So is this continuing to be part of getting the upper hand on negotiations by Donald Trump?
You just can't help but think it is. That he's always looking for ways to amp up the rhetoric, and then he backs off as you get closer to the deadline. And you know, to hear that characterization by the U.S. ambassador, I mean, why wouldn't they want more energy, and why wouldn't we want to sell more? That just sounds like a win-win. Trump doesn't like win-win. He likes win only. And so if he thinks the other side is going to get something, he has to push back a little. So that's what they're doing today. And you remember, there was a day, and I mean literally a day, when Doug Ford said he was going to put a 25% surcharge on U.S. Exports of electricity. And, you know, we backed off that one really quickly. It lasted 24 hours. So there is some leverage Canada has. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're our biggest customer. And you really have to ask yourself when you're in business, you know, customer kind of comes first. So how far do you push your business along, or your relationship along, if you're constantly kicking your customer in the knee? Now, the flip side is the customer has more liberty to be able to be grumpy towards the supplier. And we kind of find ourselves in the crossfire on that one. That's sort of where we find we're at today. We're a big supplier to those guys. And I notice now that they're starting to target things like our booze. You know, Canadian rye whiskey is pretty popular, and it's a big export. And that would be an area where, you know, it would be an irritant for us, too, in a very big way. Yeah, they've got plenty of leverage over us because, you know, I think a point that Ottawa has been making ever since this conversation started was we're just too reliant on one single customer. And Canadian business needs to figure out how to diversify its customer list. And I got to say, you know, Canada signed, 20 new trade agreements or whatever. In my day-to-day conversations in the province, Evan, I don't hear very many Saskatchewan business people saying, well, I jumped on a trade mission and went over to, you know, this country or that one to find new customers. And I think maybe we in the province need to, the big guys, you know, the people who sell potash and that kind of stuff, they're all around the world anyway. It's more the small and medium-sized businesses, I think, that need to be able to kind of take a look at this and say, if we're going to be exporters, do we look beyond just the United States as an export market? And that's maybe something we need to be talking about provincially.
We're chatting today with Paul Martin, Ralco Business Commentator. Last thing I wanted to touch on, Mark Carney's statement came out yesterday. He kind of alluded to a few things in this one-page statement. He basically acknowledged that this newest threat is a direct violation of CUSMA. He talked about the fact that they basically, Canada has put on a number of these tariffs almost to match what the United States has done. He talked about Canada's made a series of detailed, comprehensive proposals to try and resolve this dispute and are more than willing to, you know, get back to the table and get the job done. So what do you think or see the strategy being going forward? It's one of three things. It's elbows up, it's restock the shelves with U.S. liquor, or it's do nothing, status quo, focus on negotiations.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of all of the above in there, but... I think that, you know, we've not really done much in the way of, if I could put it this way, public relations in the heartland in the United States. So, you know, why wouldn't a trade minister, instead of going to speak to the Economic Club of New York, go and talk to the Chamber of Commerce in Iowa and start talking about, you know, what happens with our potash and how much they rely on us for that, you know, and start to just remind Americans how intertwined these economies are, and that every time a tariff gets imposed on Canada, it sounds like it's an attack on us. In fact, it's the U.S. customer, you know, consumer of that product that's paying the premium. Just go down there and remind them that Donald Trump cut your taxes, but he's reclaiming all that money through tariffs. So you guys are still kind of net zero, and all you've done is, you know, muddy up the waters on trade.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm going to leave it there for now, Paul. I appreciate the check-in this morning. Thanks for your time.
Not at all. Take care.
Ralco Business Commentator Paul Martin. So let's do this. Let's take a break and come back, and I want to open the phone lines. We've got two topics that I would love to hear your discussion on. One, of course, is where we're at when it comes to this collision. We talked about off the start of the show, this is a really complicated topic because our hearts are broken for the two people that died in the collision, the families, the friends, the communities that are affected by that. One of them, a very high profile, beloved Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Then we hear bits and pieces of information that maybe lead us on a path that has us wondering about what it was that led to this accident. This can be very hard to reconcile. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I also want to know your thoughts on what the Canadian strategy should be in light of these latest 50% tariff threat. Is it elbows up? Is it liquor back on the shelves? Or is it steady as she goes?